So let's welcome Mike and Ruth. We're just going to have you come on up here. Take my stuff out of the way.
Bom dia, graça e paz, em nome de Jesus Cristo. And the congregation says, amen. That was, good morning, grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ. That's a typical greeting in a church, just like the Apostle Paul. We are very happy to be here with you. You have been very gracious to us. I thank you for the offerings you've given faithfully to the Great Commission Fund, and some have even given to us personally. It made it possible for us to be in Brazil for 24 years and in Portugal for 13 now. Almost 38 years of service. And I have to say, there's been hard days, like raising children. There's been hard days, but we've loved it. And I feel very blessed to have been called. And I don't know if the word proud, I'm proud to have served with the Alliance Mission. They've never faulted in receiving our support. There has been times where we have been cut down and or adjusted one way or another, but they have been very faithful, and I feel like they've been on the cutting edge, too, in missions. And so I'm happy to represent them. I know some of you have heard Mike speak this morning. I'm here dressed like this. Some people say, are you from the Salvation Army or a flight attendant or... Why are you dressed like that? And I have another part of this. It's a uniform, and I represent the university student in Portugal today. This isn't from the past. It is from the past, and it is from the present. And we have worked among youth in public schools. Mike is a football coach. And so I have a great story that I like to tell with my uniform and my cape. So that's why I am dressed the way I am. So I'm going to let Mike tell you the main story. Oh,
I can give that to the pastor. Yes. Thanks, Ruth. It is really good to be with you this morning, and grateful for all that God is doing here and around the world. We're part of a team, and you're part of our team. We all work together for the same reason. To take Jesus to people who need him, and to see followers of Jesus raised up. And we're glad to be a part of that here with you all, and know that you're a part with us too. So the theme for Missions Conference this year is Now to the Harvest. And there was a video made back in 2013 when we first got to the field. We got there it was made in 2012. We arrived in Portugal in 2011, and the Alliance sent a video team, and they did this video that you're going to see. It is so, I look at it and I say, this is prophetic, because the title of the video is Now to the Portugal, Awaiting Harvest. And I just thought, wow, this is something we have to show again, because it blends right in with the theme, and it'll give you a little background of Portugal as well and the ministry there.
We chose the north because it's the most needy part of Portugal. It's where there's the least amount of evangelical churches.
It's part of our DNA, I think, to go to areas that are the least reached. Less than 1% of the Portuguese population is evangelical.
God has a plan for the Alliance in Portugal. And so, why Portugal? Because they need Jesus, and we have him.
When Portugal was in its heyday of exploration and colonization, their husbands and fathers and uncles would go out to sea, and people would be weeping on the beach because there was no guarantee that they would come back.
Death just seems to pervade this society.
Sem dúvida, um lugar muito escuro, onde as trevas prevalecem e onde muitas seitas são encontradas.
I don't know why it is, but it always seems that people are more attracted to the false than they are to the true.
The Catholic churches in Porto on the outside are gorgeous. I would say the inside of the churches are much more confusing.
Mary is always front and center, and Jesus is in a glass coffin.
There's, you know, a little Jesus that's dying in the corner, and Mary being crowned, and it's like, what do these people believe?
I think we need to respect Mary, but who we reverence and worship has to be the Son.
Eu não vejo verdade, eu vejo mais tradicionalismo e religiosidade. Realmente está faltando o evangelho nesse país.
The financial crisis is being very much felt here right now.
Banks foreclose on homes. People are becoming desperate.
A instabilidade financeira aqui em Portugal nos dá a oportunidade de mostrarmos que a estabilidade verdadeira existe na pessoa de Jesus.
My neighbor has had a Bible all of her life, has never read it once. There's a lamp there, but the lamp has never been turned on. So it's just as dark as a place that doesn't have a lamp.
I think we're beginning to see some cracks in the wall.
Hoje a igreja evangélica está tendo mais credibilidade do que anos atrás.
People are seeing the evangelical church in a different light now than they ever have before. I believe the seed's going to take root, and it's going to grow. And I believe that we're going to see a time of harvest that has not been seen up to this point.
Something's going to happen to all these seeds that are planted. One day they're going to sprout.
If God chooses to give us fruit now, praise God. But we need to be willing to continue sowing.
Because you know one day all this is going to come to fruition. Whether I see it with my eyes or not really isn't the point. The point is God's going to make it happen.
We talked to this retired missionary and he said, I wish I was you because this is the year. And he really felt this was the beginning of the harvest.
I can't wait to see maybe 20, 30 years from now, there'll be actually a community of people worshiping here that say, we found Jesus here because somebody in the Alliance Church in the United States and in Brazil decided to send people to minister to us.
So we are very grateful for that, and as it opened up a wonderful segue into what we want to share this morning about that. Now, we're talking about harvest, so help me out here. What do you need to have in place to have a harvest? Seeds? Water? What else? Light, earth, sun. Yeah. What's the basic first thing you have to have? A field. Right, a field, for sure. So I grew up in the country. I'm from eastern Pennsylvania, and my dad always had a big garden, and I watched that whole process from the time that he would plow to disking and harrowing and making the rows and all of that, and then sowing and planting those seeds and watching them spring up at the end of the season. Just that miracle of growth. It was amazing. Well, in 1993, we were sitting around a table with a team meeting in São Paulo, Brazil. And we were discussing Propor 97, which really was a proposal to open up the country of Portugal as a mission field with the Brazilian Christian and Missionary Alliance there. The Brazilian church at that point was just really riding a wave of mission interest. There was a lot of missionaries sent out in the early 90s and to different parts of the world, not just from the Alliance, but from other places as well. And so as we discussed Propor 97, our team leader asked, well, is there anybody here that might be interested in doing that? And I don't remember all the circumstances around that, but in 1993, Ruth and I said, yes, we'd be interested in that. Well, it did not get off the ground at that point. It wasn't the right time. There wasn't finances for it. But I believe that God at that point was beginning to sow a seed in our hearts for the country of Portugal. And so it didn't come to fruition until 16 years later, but we did end up there. So in the spring of 2009, Ruth and I were invited by the Brazilian Christian Missionary Alliance to be a part of a vision trip to Portugal. That would have been the third vision trip that Brazil had made to the country of Portugal. This time, we had the South America Regional Director for the U.S. Mission, the European Regional Director for the U.S. Mission, the Field Director from Spain, the Missions Director from Brazil, Ruth and myself, and a Brazilian couple that would serve with us there in the country of Portugal. And so it looked like something was finally going to happen. Now, when we returned from that trip, our regional director from South America, we returned back to Brazil, he said, okay, you guys have 30 days to make a decision if you're going to stay in Brazil or if you're going to go to Portugal, if you're going to go back to the States, because the U.S. mission was pulling out of Brazil, transitioning out of Brazil at that time, because the statistics were saying that 20 to 25% of the population of Brazil was evangelical, whereas Portugal had less than 1%. And so the need was definitely there. So how we got to that decision is a story all in itself. Just say that the Lord directed us to Scripture during that month that we were praying and asking the Lord about it. And actually in 2010, we said yes. The next year in 2010, I returned to Brazil with a Brazilian missions leader, where we incorporated the Christian and Missionary Alliance legally in the country. So we had a foothold there. And in September of 2011, then, we found ourselves back on Portuguese soil, this time to live there and begin a work with our team to open up Portugal as an alliance mission field. Why do I tell all this? Well, it's because God was preparing a field. God was preparing a field where a new work could begin to spring up and see his kingdom grow. We're about the kingdom. I love the Christian and Missionary Alliance, but we're a part of the kingdom. And we want to see the kingdom grow. And there are times we partner with other groups around the world to see the kingdom grow. But the Lord called us to be a part of that team that would open up Portugal as a mission field. So fast forward to 2024, and here we are to share with you the theme of this year's missions conference, Now to the Harvest, and how that's been worked out in the country of Portugal, where we've served for the last, would have been 13 years in September, 12 and a half years there in that country. There are a number of scriptures that I'd like to share with you this morning, and oops, got to get the right button there. This from Mark chapter 4. He also said, this, and Jesus is speaking here, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. And Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11, God is speaking to the prophet Isaiah, and he says this, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. That is God speaking. God is saying it's a guarantee. When his seed goes out, when his word goes out, it's going to do what he wants it to do. What a promise. As we take that across the street or across the ocean. God's word, God is faithful to his word. And then in Mark chapter 24, these verses that have been an impetus for Alliance Missions since the days of Dr. Simpson, And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. The end hasn't come yet, right? So we have work to do. We have work to do to send out that word to the nations. Something very interesting that came out of the Joshua Project recently, there are about 17,500 ethnic groups in our world today. A little over 7,000 of them are considered unreached groups. That's where less than 2% of the people in that nation are believers. In 2015, there were about 7,500 unreached. How many nations had zero believers? In 2015, there were about 3,500 nations that had zero believers. Fast forward 4 years to 2019, that number dropped to 1,300. A year later, it dropped down to around 300. And in 2021, they estimated that there were between 5 and 20 ethnic groups in the world that had zero believers. We're close to the coming of the Lord. We're not predicting any dates, but we're saying that work is being done. Because in Revelation, it says people from every tribe and tongue and nation will be around the throne. When that person, that last person, comes to know Christ and is ready, that nation comes, Jesus is going to come back. That's why we work. That's why we go. Well, Portugal, getting back to our theme, Portugal in 2011, when we arrived there, had an evangelical community of less than 0.5% in the whole country. And so in the video, you saw Charlotte say, why Portugal? Because we have Jesus, and they need him, and they do. They're very religious people, but they're not following Jesus. Many times they follow traditions, they follow other things, but they don't follow Jesus. So the arrival of our team signaled the start of a process that's taken time to come to fruition. But when we look there in Mark chapter 4, of that principle, that the seed is sown and the farmer goes to bed. And I remember when I planted seeds with my dad, we planted corn. And so you'd do two kernels, walk a step, drop two kernels, walk a step, drop two kernels, and so forth. And then you cover it up. And I got up the next morning and there was the corn. You wish. Yeah, because there was a lot of work that had to be done in between, right? So the principle there is that God makes it happen, and that's what Charlotte said there in the video. So what do we have to do as we work on that? We need to sow, and we need to sow abundantly. I talked about how we drop two kernels, you know, every step there. That's not how they planted in the Bible times. They did broadcast seeding. So the farmer would take and a whole handful of grain and throw it out there in the field, another handful and throw it out there in the field. That was sowing abundantly. And the first years that we were in Portugal, we wanted to sow. We wanted to start that process. And so when we arrived, this couple, Pastor Samuel and his wife, really invited us to be a part of the work in Portugal. In 2009, when we went on that vision trip, we met Pastor Samuel, and actually we were there during a missions conference that their church was having. It's an independent church. And I remember him coming up to me in a meal afterwards and asking, he said, what would it take for the Alliance to come and be a part of the ministry here in Portugal? And so he actually wrote all of the letters for legal invitation for us to be legally come into the country as ministers. And welcomed us into his church. There he gave us space to minister because Portugal's not Brazil. We had to learn a whole lot of new culture and new things, even in worship and the church service. So he gave us space to do that. He's a brother with a vision to reach the Portuguese people with the gospel. And to this day, we are very, very good friends with he and his wife and their family. Well, when you sow, you also have to say, well, what part of the field are we going to sow in? Northern Portugal was where we had targeted. Why? Because it is the most densely populated part of the country and the least evangelized. An average church size in the north would be between 15 and 20, maybe 25 people of any evangelical church. And there are some that are extremely small. Our first team retreat that we had in 2011, Charlotte, our colleague, wanted to move to the town of Paredes. Why? It has to do with these two women here. The very first Alliance missionaries to Portugal were not from Brazil or the United States. They were from Chile. And these two gals were Chilean, and they felt like they wanted to go and into Europe and to Portugal. And so they were in Portugal in a prayer meeting with some pastors and leaders. And as they were praying, Wilma said, I keep hearing this word Paredes, Paredes, Paredes. Does that mean anything to anybody? Well, they said, that's a town about 20 miles east of Porto, where they were meeting. And they felt like, well, this is God saying this is where we should go. And so they moved there. And 2 years later, Wilma left and went back to Chile, but Lily stayed. And Charlotte, our colleague, actually visited her there. And Lily had a ministry with a lot of the women who were seamstresses and so forth, had businesses, and would invite them maybe once or twice a week to her home for lunch. Because last night we were talking about the lunchtime in Portugal is an hour and a half. That's for anybody, students included. And so time around the table is important. So she would invite these ladies to come in, give them lunch, and then, you know, those little promise boxes that have the little verses on them, she would give each of them one of those, and then they would go. Well, that's sowing. That's sowing. And when we decided, we're talking about where we're going to go, Charlotte said, I want to go back to Paredes, because she had met some of these ladies that Lily was working with there. We were living in a town called Valongo at the time. It was not the first place we lived, but it was a little closer to the town of Paredes. And for 2 years, we were wanting to plant a church in that town of Valongo. And so we had meetings in our home, 10 to 15 people coming. And just like it didn't seem like anything was going, we had tried to rent a place. We looked for like 12 or 14 different places to rent to begin a church building there. And actually, two of the owners said, oh, you're evangelicals. We don't want to rent to you. So there was some opposition there. But in the town of Paredes, I started coaching an American football team there. That's another story. Those that were in Sunday school heard that, a little bit about that. Pardon? Oh, there we go. Sorry, I switched that around. Ruth was involved in teaching morals and religion classes, evangelical classes in the public schools. And so that was sowing there. And I was coaching a football team, working with 35 young Portuguese men there and being able to share the gospel in different occasions with them. Our colleagues, Danilo and Elaine, were involved in making contacts with people. They had a ministry with restaurant workers. And got to know them so well and actually had a Bible study in their home with one of them. So Paredes, we just kept nudging closer and closer to this town, and God kept confirming and confirming that that's where we should go. So the word Paredes, interestingly, in Portuguese means walls. Walls. In the video, you heard me say, I think we're beginning to see some cracks in the walls. I had no idea about Paredes at that point, what it meant or where it was. I mean, I knew what the word meant, but I didn't know anything about the town there. So Charlotte actually began with some neighborhood teas in her house to invite ladies in. She said, I had no idea how to go about this. She just started putting invitations in people's mailboxes, and these ladies showed up at her house to have tea. And an opportunity for her to share the gospel there with them. I had opportunity with the football team to share the gospel. because we had a hamburger cookout at the beginning of every season with them. And it was an opportunity for me to tell them about people like you that were interested in them. And people gave equipment, actually, to us because the players had to pay to play there. And so just beginning to sow, Ruth was involved, continued with the EMRE, the Ministry in the Public Schools. Our colleagues, Daniil and Elaine, were ministering to different people. Actually, their son, their youngest son there in the middle, is Raphael. He was born with Down syndrome, which gave them an opportunity to minister to many people in with that condition. And let's see here. I have to keep getting the right button on that. And they've had a tremendous ministry with people with Down syndrome children. Elaine, during her pregnancy, was counseled several times to have an abortion. And she said, no, this is a child from God. And Raphael's been a blessing to us. He is the cuddly, most loving thing. He's getting heavy, so he's hard to pick up. But they were making kind. So in all of this, folks, we're sowing. We have to sow abundantly to see a harvest. And then as we sow, we need to pray expectantly that God's going to do something with all of that. In Mark chapter 4, that verse says, a man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. That verse there, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how, it sprouts all by itself, is the way the Greek says it. And that all by itself is the word we get automatic from. You put the seed in the ground, what happens? It grows. And so we need to pray as we sow. And I know that many of you have sowed the seed with friends, with colleagues, with relatives. Don't stop. God is going to make that grow. But pray. Pray expectantly that God is going to do something, that what he said in Isaiah is going to take place. When he sends the word out, it does what he wants it to do. Don't give up doing that. We as a team are praying, and we've sent out prayer letters, still do, for prayer requests there. And people are praying. We as a team were praying. What happens? Is it just the corn that grows up? What else grows up? Oh, the weeds. So you got to weed the garden. There's lots of opposition that takes place when you're sowing the seed and waiting for it to grow. The enemy doesn't want that to happen. And we've come through in our 12 years. I would say if it wasn't for people, ministry would be great. But as a team even, working together and sometimes divergent opinions about things, we had to weed the garden. The Apostle Paul said it wasn't going to be easy. When he went into Macedonia, he said, you know, that he said this in 2 Corinthians 7, for even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within. So we have to pray. We have to persevere in prayer and be expectant that God is going to do something. Well, what were some of the things we were praying about? In 2013, we made these goals for our vision for 2021. So our first goal was that we would have one or two Portuguese leaders as part of our team. That did not happen. We have not seen that happen yet. Pray about that. Continue praying with us to see Portuguese leaders. There may be somebody on the horizon, but it hasn't happened yet. We wanted to see 45 people attending our church besides our missionary team. Last year, we averaged 50 in our service. Praise God. We wanted to have 25 baptized members. We have 18. And so we're praying that God will continue with that. We wanted our own space to have a church. We have that. God answered that prayer. We wanted to be involved in a social work that was functioning regularly. A lot of needy people around us. And so we're part of an association that each month helps provide food, basic food baskets to 25 to 30 families. We wanted to be involved with sports. Sports is a big thing in Portugal. And so I coached the American football team. Charlotte, our colleague, actually coached a ladies' flag football team for a while as well. We wanted to see discipleship functioning regularly. That is happening, teaching God's word to people. And we wanted to see a short-term missions project go to Africa because of the connect that Portugal has with Africa in three countries, Guinea-Bissau, Angola, and Mozambique. And I haven't heard yet, but I think this month, one of our colleagues, our Brazilian colleagues, Simone, is a dentist, and she was invited by the government in Guinea-Bissau to come and talk about opening up an NGO there to help with dental work. And if it's not November, then it'll be in February that this is happening. And that's a project that the Alliance has. It's called SMILE, and you can contribute to that as well there. But we're seeing some of these happening as we pray. The Lord opens up these opportunities and these ways. Well, you sow, you pray, the garden grows, and then we have to harvest faithfully. What happens if you harvest too early? That corn doesn't taste so good, does it? What happens if you wait too long? Break your teeth on it. It gets hard. It's not good. Well, when we have a harvest, we need a barn to store that harvest in. And the Lord led us in that. This was a building that we found in the town of Paredes. And it was a great location right behind a bus stop right on a major road through the town. And because of your giving to the Great Commission Fund, we were able to do the remodeling in there, a building that seats 40-some people there. And part of the decoration there was this cross. One of my football players, his dad is a carpenter. And I asked Giga, his son, I said, would your dad be willing to make a cross for us to hang in the church there? And so we gave him the dimensions. He said, sure. So they came that day with a cross to hang it. And there were a couple other football players that came to see what this was all about. It was probably the first time that either of those two were in an evangelical church. But we hung that cross there, and Jesus is not on that cross. Jesus is raised from the dead. And that's when people walk through the door, that's the first thing they see on the wall there is the cross. And we're just grateful for that. And when I went to pay for it, his dad said, no way, this is for a church. I'll just give it to you. So it's made of solid spruce, and it's just a beautiful thing. Our inaugural service that we had 93 people in a building that seats 40. No airco, and it was 100 degrees that day. That was in July of 2017. So, and then what do? You have a food afterwards, right? Right out in front of the church there, everybody's seeing this testimony of a new church opening up. First fruits. Isaiah says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I have sent it. We need to let that sink in to our lives and really believe that. Well, first fruits was Fernando. Fernando's here on your right there, his wife, Luzia, and their two children. Fernando was a construction worker in Portugal and worked with a guy who was a Christian who constantly was witnessing to him, actually gave him one of the, you ever seen those little small Gideon New Testaments? Gave him one of those. That was the only Bible that Fernando had. And so Fernando started reading that, and he became enamored with the Word of God and was reading and reading. And this guy was witnessing to him after work and would come to his house, actually, and share the gospel with his family. And his wife was irate. She did not like it at all. And actually, she told Fernando, if you don't get this guy out of here and out of our lives, I don't want to be with you anymore. I want a divorce. Well, because of working in construction, Fernando had some physical issues, and one of them was he had developed a hole in his lung about the size of a quarter. And the doctor told him, you're going to be an oxygen the rest of your life. You're never going to work again. And so Fernando found himself in the hospital there with that hole in his lung, and he was reading his Bible and came to John chapter 11, the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. The beginning of that chapter, Jesus says, "This sickness is not unto death, but so that God will be glorified." Fernando read that, and he got out of his hospital bed, knelt by his bed, and received Christ right there. Several weeks later, he went back to the doctor for a checkup, and the doctor said, "Hey, where's your oxygen?" He said, "Well, just didn't feel like I needed it today." And the doctor said, "We need to check this out." So they did an x-ray. We'd been praying for him. That hole had closed in his lung. He was healed. He was healed. And because of that, his wife came to the Lord and his two kids as well. And they were our first baptisms in our church there. And he and his wife came through a three-year course of studying scripture, of discipleship, and studying the life of Jesus from the book of Matthew. And tremendous there. But it happened that 2 years ago, it'll be 3 years in February, the Lord took Fernando during COVID. He had developed COVID. He already was in kind of a weakened state. You ever ask God why? Why? Here was this guy. We were thinking of him as a leader for our church, and a tremendous thing. God took him. But at his funeral, and his family asked that we would do the funeral, our team, it was probably the biggest evangelistic event that we have ever held. All of his family was there. None of them, as far as I know, believers in Christ. Probably more than 50 people there at that. And we had the privilege of sharing the hope that Fernando had in his life. And see his family following the Lord. You can pray for them, for his wife, Luzia, and their two children. It's been rough. As a widow, it's not an easy thing. And she's struggling. But pray that God would strengthen her heart and her life to see what the Lord has done through them. In the video, you saw Charlotte, heard her say, "Something is going to happen to all these seeds that are planted. Someday, they're going to sprout. Whether I see it with my eyes or not really isn't the point. The point is God is going to make it happen." And that's been our trust and our praise to the Lord in what he's doing. So we sow, we pray, we harvest, and we sow, and we pray, and we harvest. And we sow, and we pray, and we harvest until the King returns. Until the King returns. We're not done, like I said. We have lots of work to do. And your prayers are moving that ahead. Your giving is moving that ahead. God may be calling someone here today to be a part of that kingdom work of sowing, praying, and harvesting in another country even, or somewhere else in the world, in our country. We need to listen to what the Lord is saying to us. In Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah heard these words from the Lord, "Who's going to go for us? Who will go?" And what was Isaiah's answer? "Well, let me think about it. Lord, there's the guy down the road there. He might be a better prospect than me." No, Isaiah said, "Here am I. Send me." May the Lord give us the courage to answer that way, no matter what it is or where he wants us to go. He may be calling people here today. Say yes. We're going to close with a song. Ask Ruth to get ready there. And